about, and that is your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the eternal life that we have, the forgiveness of sins, the life everlasting, because Jesus died for us and rose again. We thank you, and I thank you that you didn't just send Jesus, but you sent your Holy Spirit to live among us, and you're here today, and I thank you that you are present in the communion of the saints, and we are gathered together, our church, and two or three, and where two or three are gathered, you're in their midst, and I thank you, Father, for all the good gifts that you give us. And so, Lord, just that we're here, just that we have life and breath and enough food, more than enough food we have in this country. And we thank you for all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Anyone want to say amen to that? Listen, I would like you to turn and greet those around you. And here's what I'd like you to say. I'd like you to say, thank you for coming today. I'd like you to say, thank you for sitting beside me. Thank you that you almost look as good as I do. Okay. All right, you may be seated after you've done some good greeting work. That's awesome. Just want you to know that if you're a home group leader and you need some materials for your group coming up this weekend, come and see me at the back in the table. I know everything's kind of shifted around because of the election. So thanks, two or three church, for making this work. We're just sorry to kick you guys out of your Sunday evening service. But thank you for joining us. And that makes my day. And so, you know, if for no other reason, we got to learn to love each other as brothers and sisters. And for all eternity, we can do that as well. So we're glad to have you as partners with us. And Alex is going to kick off our sharing time. So I want you to get ready to say a public word of thanksgiving today. But I want to just start off, we need a little bit of kind of humor at Thanksgiving. So I've pulled some of my favorite memes. It's Pastor Perry's memes again. Yeah, I know. Our kid, come on, don't you look forward to, yeah, okay, give me a little love, youth. Okay, here we go. Thanksgiving memes. All right. Woo. There we go. All right, Turkey says, something's up. The farmer just unfriended me on Facebook. Yeah, okay. Okay, so this next one is my personal favorite. I'm going to make Thanksgiving great again. How did they make that end of a turkey look like Donald Trump? I don't know, but that's amazing. That is just amazing. Okay, next one. No need to post your Thanksgiving food. We're all eating the same thing. I don't know if that's really true, actually, so in this congregation. But anyways, next one. The meal is not over when I'm full. The meal is over when I hate myself. Okay, so yeah, did you bring your extra large belts today? Next one. This is holidays at the Vader residence. Okay, what do you want? White meat, dark meat? Dark, dark, dark. Everybody wants dark meat. I don't know if you get that. See, the dark side. Do I have to explain? If I got to explain it, we got to move on. Next one. So you're telling me your stomach is going to hurt because you ate too much? Oh, now that's just to make you feel guilty when you're eating too much today. So, okay, a little third world concern there. This is a really good one. Thanksgiving, keeping therapists busy since 1621. For what it's worth, honey, your turkey isn't nearly as disappointing as last time. Oh, things not to say today. Okay, here we go. I can't eat another bite. Oh, look, pie. Yes. How I feel after Thanksgiving. Yeah, and then after Thanksgiving, that look when you get on the scale, yeah, okay, what? Okay, well, there you go. Some Thanksgiving memes. All right, so people want to know what God's will is for their life. A lot of young people are always thinking about that, but when people ask about God's will, they're typically, you know, they're thinking about what they should do in the next phase of their life, who they should marry or what school they should go to or which job to accept. But all these things are secondary. The most important thing for you is not what you do, but what you should be. And you should be thankful. And out of a thankful heart flow thankful words. And the Bible says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for your life in Christ Jesus. You know, all this fall in our English service, we've been learning about the five great purposes of our life. Worship and fellowship and discipleship is starting next week, and service and evangelism. Here's the thing. We've been going through this book, What on Earth Am I Here For? Did you know that giving thanks helps you fulfill every one of these five purposes for your life? Thanksgiving is a fulfillment of the great purpose for which you're created. So I'm just going to kind of roll through these this morning. First of all, gratitude brings pleasure to God. Gratitude makes God smile. When we praise God for who He is and we thank Him for what He's done for us, we honor Him and we bring Him pleasure. There's a story in the Gospel of Luke that talks about some desperately ostracized people. And we're gonna read it here. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. You know, leprosy attacks the body and it leaves a lot of painful sores. And nerve endings, they lose their sensations, which leads to further damage of body parts. And it can result in missing fingers and toes. And leprosy can take 30 years to run its course. And in that time span, entire limbs can fall off. And that's just the physical aspect, right? Because leprosy was a communicable disease. If you got it, you were cut off from society. You had to say goodbye to your friends and your family. Those people that you're sitting with today, you'd have to leave them, go live somewhere else. They were totally ostracized in an attempt to control the contagion. And they had to call out, not just to warn people of their disease, but also to ask for any help. Because you see, if they needed help and food, and then they had to yell, please, you know, please drop something over there for us. And they learned to yell in a loud voice. And it says, they stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And when he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. Now the local priests, they weren't just temple workers. They were the equivalent of the health officials, right? The priest would inspect the body, and if it were clear of disease, they could pronounce the healing and make it possible to reunite the family members. And then it says, and as they went, they were cleansed. Notice they weren't healed immediately. At the moment of Jesus' instruction, no physical change had yet taken place, but in faith they obeyed, and they began to walk to the priest, and then they were healed. And Jesus required a demonstration of faith on the part of the lepers in asking them to walk before they were healed. Friends, let me just say this morning. Don't wait until all your problems are solved, till you start walking in faith and doing what Jesus asks you to do. Don't wait until you've seen all the blessings before you say thank you to God today. Try walking in faith and obedience to Jesus and then see what he'll do. And it says, and one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, where are the other nine? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Why did only one return? Were the other nine ungrateful? Well, I don't think so. But they weren't intentionally grateful. See, we can quickly move from gratitude to forgetfulness to sort of this sense of entitlement. And we can experience blessings every day from God and simply forget to thank God for them. Jesus never commanded the lepers to be thankful. But I think he expected a little thank you, a little word. And it amazed him that a foreigner, a Samaritan, an outsider to the faith, was the only one who returned and said a proper thank you. You know, as parents, we try to raise our kids right. Right? And we try to teach them, don't forget to say thank you, right? But do we model it? Right? Are we intentionally thankful? Doctors know that thankfulness is the healthiest human emotion. The more grateful you are in life, the healthier you'll be. Gratitude will change your attitude. So start your day with gratitude and you'll be healthier and you'll be happier and you'll be closer to God. Give thanks to God every day. It brings him pleasure. It makes God smile. And then Jesus said, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." See, Jesus appreciated thanks, but he makes something even greater than physical healing possible. He said, "Your faith has made you well. It's saved you," another version says. Faith leads to wholeness. The Samaritan man didn't just get healed from leprosy. He was made whole spiritually. He had a lot to be thankful for, and as he expressed that to Jesus, his relationship to God was made whole. When we take time to acknowledge God, the giver, not just the gifts, we please the Lord and we enjoy the spiritual healing that comes from gratefulness. You know, the Bible says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God." One of the reasons we sing worship songs is because we're grateful to God for what he's done. Gratitude brings God pleasure. So be part of the minority that intentionally returns and faithfully offers thanksgiving to God. And don't just appreciate the painting. Appreciate the painter. Don't just enjoy God's creation today. Thank the Creator. Sing with gratitude in your hearts to God. So gratitude, it brings a smile to God's face, but it also creates fellowship with each other. Gratitude always builds deeper relationships between you and other people. If you want to have healthy relationships, start with an attitude of gratitude. You'll be far happier and you'll enjoy your relationships more if you develop the habit of being grateful for the people in your life. In fact, the Apostle Paul says, "I thank my God every time I remember you." The simple truth is the foundation of good relationships. When you think of people in your life, is your first feeling gratitude? Or are you more likely to ask, "Well, did you get done what I asked you to do?" Right? Or, "How can you help me get what I want, done?" Your first thought may not be gratitude, but Paul's first thought was, "I thank my God every time I remember you." And it's the model we should follow if we want our relationships to be strong. See, here's the problem. The longer you know someone, the more likely it is for you to be able to take that person for granted. Isn't it true? Right? With the passage of time, it becomes easier to focus on the person's faults and the bad times instead of the happy times. And that's why it takes effort on our part to choose an attitude of gratitude for the people in our life. Do you want to strengthen your relationship with a friend, a parent, a child, a spouse, people in your small group? Whoever you want to get closer to, start spending more time expressing gratitude to them. You know, when someone encourages me, no matter how badly I've done, they still love me. I'm drawn to that person, right? Affirmation and gratitude create fellowship. So don't just attend a small group. During the week, text one another, encourage one another, pray for one another. Be more intentional about expressing gratitude to the people in your small group. Tell them how grateful you are for them, and it'll bring you closer together. Gratitude creates fellowship. Be thankful instead of complaining that life isn't fair. Have you ever noticed that we complain that life isn't fair? But we rarely do that. We rarely complain that God isn't fair when something good happens to us and not to others. You know, like, have you ever been at the mall at Christmas time or at Costco on a weekday? And you're driving along and there's no parking space. And all of a sudden the person right in front of you, like, they just pull out and you pull in like the best parking spot ever. And you go, none of you say, "Oh God, you're not fair." Right? You say, "Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah." Right? But when other people are the recipients of grace and they get the parking spot, we say, "Well, that's not fair." See, it's really envy. We think God's goodness has come to the wrong person because it didn't come to me. It's like the story of a pastor who died and went to heaven, and Hope it's okay. I don't know if two or three of you guys are allowed to tell jokes, but we can tell jokes here. St. Peter showed him his eternal abode, which was really quite small, you know, the mansion in heaven that he'd been looking to, and he was just trying to be really grateful. Oh, thank you so much, and you know. And so as he's about to claim his mansion in heaven, he sees a guy in his church, a lawyer, come down, and he's wondering, he was surprised the guy even made it, right? And all of a sudden, the guy looks, and there's this big mansion right across from him. And it's this lawyer gets this big mansion. And finally, this pastor, he just can't take it anymore. He says, St. Peter, he says, I don't get it. He says, I've been a pastor 40 years. I gave my life to serve God. And you know how little I got paid by my church, you know. And I did all of this. And I'm trying to be grateful for this little place. But this lawyer comes and he gets this big house. What's up with that? And St. Peter says, Pastor, cool your jets. He said, you know. He said, we got a lot of pastors up here. This is our first lawyer. Sorry if you're a lawyer this morning. But there is hope for you, obviously. Surprised by grace, you know, we complain, and it's easy to get envious. When you walk by first class, have you ever been on an airplane? You walk by the business class, right? And they've already been seated, and they got lots of legroom, and they got their own bathrooms without any lineups, and they're sipping a drink, right, you know, free from the bar, and you head off with the rest of the unwashed masses to the back of the plane, you know, over on this side, and, you know, there's no room for your carry-on, and there's no room for your legs, and you got to fight for the armrest, and do you ever think thoughts that are less than godly? Just be honest. When really we should be saying, thank you, God, that there is air travel and I don't have to travel by covered wagon, right? Thank you, God, that I get to go somewhere. Envy asks, well, why do they get what I don't? And gratitude asks, well, why am I so blessed, right? It wasn't fair that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, but he did. Because he's full of grace and love for you. Are you grateful to him for that? Friends, guard against envy. You'll never be able to see the goodness of God with a jealous eye. Anyone who looks at God's blessings with one eye and the other eye tries to keep track of how much others get will soon become unhappy. And if you'd like to become more joyful, learn to enjoy the successes and the joys of others. If you're only happy when good things happen to you, you'll always be unhappy for part of your life, because that's reality. Life isn't fair. But if you learn to enjoy other people's victories, you'll always have something to rejoice about. When's the last time you thank God for what God did for somebody else? We need to replace the spirit of envy with the spirit of thanksgiving and replace the spirit of complaining with the spirit of thanksgiving. The more grateful you are, the happier you'll be. Gratitude creates fellowship with others, and gratitude develops my faith. Listen to what the Apostle Paul writes in one of his letters, 2 Corinthians. He says, we don't want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. And he has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we've set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. Can you thank God when life stinks? Like, that's the test of character and faith. Can you thank God when it snows in October? When everything's going wrong? If you're going through a tough time, don't look at what's lost. Look at what's left. Next time you complain about gas prices, thank God for your car. And next time you're tempted to complain about the little feet or the big feet that mess up your home, thank God for your family. And when you're tempted to complain about your boss, thank God you got a job. Gratitude's the pathway toward a happier life. And no matter how bad things are in my life, there's always something to be thankful for, even if it's just thanking God for who he is. We can always thank God for forgiveness and eternal life we have in Christ. Friends, gratitude is like a muscle. The more you use it, the stronger it gets. And even when things don't go my way, God can work it out for good in my life. So ultimately, his plan is in action, and it takes growing faith to recognize that. As Anne Voskamp said, I can always give thanks because an all-powerful God always has all things, always under control. Anything less than gratitude and trust is practical atheism. There was a king who had a servant, and the servant was always saying, oh, bless God, he's good all the time. And sometimes it kind of annoyed the king, but he kind of put up with it because this servant served him well. And one day, they went hunting, and a wild animal attacked the king. And the servant managed to kill the animal, but couldn't prevent the king from losing a finger. And the servant said, well, bless God, you still have your hand. God is good. The king was anything but thankful. He was furious. And he said, if God was good, I wouldn't have been attacked, and I wouldn't have lost my finger. And the servant replied, well, despite all these things, I will bless God because he's good in all he does. And the king was outraged, and he said, throw that servant in jail. And later, the king left for another hunt without his servant. And during that hunt, he fell into a trap, and he became the captive of savages who practiced human sacrifice. But before they sacrificed him to their gods, they discovered the king didn't have one finger in place. And that made him an imperfect sacrifice, so they released him. On returning to his palace, the king authorized the release of the servant and told the servant, my friend, you were right. God was really good to me. I was almost killed, but for lack of a single finger, I was let go. Thank God. The servant added, my king, if I'd have gone with you, I would have been sacrificed because I have no missing fingers. Thank God. Friends, gratitude develops my faith, and gratitude serves others. Scripture says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you're doing. Honor one another above yourselves. Radical gratitude actually blesses others. It becomes a ministry. And we're saved to serve others. And you can have a ministry of appreciation by being thankful. I don't know if you've ever bought a new car, but if you did, you know the meaning of depreciation, right? The moment you drive a new car off the lot, it's worth less than you paid for it. Even if it's brand new, you take it back, it's worth less. Depreciation means to decrease in value. Large dog walked into a butcher shop with a purse in its mouth, and he puts the purse down and sits in front of the meat case, and the butcher goes, what is it, boy? You want some meat? Oh, well, what would you like? Some bacon, some liver, some steak? Woof! Oh, you'd like some steak? Well, what would you like? Half a pound? A pound? Woof! So he kind of cuts off a piece, he wraps it up, and he finds the exact price out in the purse that this dog has brought. He's just flabbergasted. I mean, this is the most incredible thing he's ever experienced. He starts following this dog. The dog picks up the steak, walks out the door, and the butcher, he's running behind this dog. He can't believe it. The dog goes up. He's going up to the third floor, starts scratching at a door, and the door opens. And his owner starts yelling at him. The butcher says, hey, don't yell at this dog. This is the most fabulous dog in the world. And the guy goes, third time this week he's forgotten his key. See, the owner didn't appreciate the dog he had. To appreciate means to raise in value. Gratitude is a way of serving others and raising their value. When you appreciate your husband, you raise his value. And when you appreciate your wife, you raise her value. When you appreciate your children, you raise their value. When you appreciate your coworkers, you raise their value to you and the company. And when you appreciate your boss, you raise his value. Everybody in life needs massive doses of encouragement. And you've got big need in your heart to be loved and appreciated and affirmed, and so does everybody else. And if you want to be used by God, here's a little secret. Appreciate everybody. Show gratitude to everybody in your life. Make it your goal to be the most encouraging person in the room. Friends, it only takes 2 days to know the impact of thankfulness. First day, complain about everything. The weather, the food, lack of friends. Talk about how lousy your spouse is. Gripe about your kids. Do it publicly. Your dog, your house is so pathetic. When people ask you, how are you? You say, terrible, right? Nothing's going right. Just try that. One day, whole day, second day, day two. Say, thank you to God for everything, right? It snows. Oh, thank you, God. Car breaks down. Well, you might as well laugh. The price is the same, right? Thank God for your spouse and your children, your friends and your dog if you have one, or your kitty cat. If you have food, thank God for it. If you got hands to eat the food with, thank God for them. Thank God for your taste buds and eyesight and life and love and everything. And then at the end of those 2 days, ask yourself this question. Which day brought you more joy? Which day brought you more joy? Friends, it's not happy people that are thankful. Thankful people are happy. So I want you to say something with me today. We're going to say this aloud. I replace the spirit of complaining with the spirit of thanksgiving. Okay, now some of you are just warming up on this. We're going to say it a couple more times. Let's try it again. You can do a little better. I replace the spirit of complaining with the spirit of thanksgiving. One more time. I replace the spirit of complaining with the spirit of thanksgiving. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, we need that. And here's why. One more reason. Because gratitude is a witness to unbelievers. See, the best way to share your faith with other people is to start with gratitude. Gratitude shocks people because most people today are so ungrateful. The Bible says that as believers, we're supposed to live in a way that makes the truth about God attractive. Do unbelieving friends and family members look at your life and desire to know more about what gives you such an encouraging attitude? See, Scripture says, do all things without complaining and disputing or grumbling, that you may prove yourselves to be children, to be blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Billy Graham said, grumbling and gratitude are for the child of God in conflict. Be grateful and you won't grumble. Grumble and you won't be grateful. The world around us is cynical and sarcastic and critical. If you'll be thankful and encourager, you'll shine like stars in the universe. Christians, Christ followers, real ones, should be known for radical love and radical joy and radical gratitude. And there's a word for it. It's called being Christ-like. You weren't meant. God didn't make a purpose for your life for you to complain. The purpose for your life is to be a grateful star in a very dark world. Pastor Jack Hinton was on a short-term mission trip in 1996. He was from the United States. He was leading worship at a leper colony on the island of Tabango in the Philippines. There was time for one more song, so he asked if anyone had a request, and a woman who had been facing away from the pulpit turned around, and Hinton said it was the most hideous face I'd ever seen. The woman's nose and ears were entirely gone. The disease had destroyed her lips as well, and she lifted a fingerless hand in the air, and she asked, can we sing Count Your Many Blessings? And after the service, a team member spoke with Pastor Hinton. He said, Jack, guess you'll never be able to sing that song again. And he said, oh, yes, I will. But I'll never sing it the same way. Friends, we're going to have a time of thanksgiving for the rest of the service. We want to fulfill God's purpose for our lives and make Him smile. I want to encourage you to share what you're thankful for. You know, in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, 11, it says, we overcome our spiritual enemy, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Your public testimony of what God has done in your life is powerful and it's life-changing for others. And if you don't get a chance to share something here this morning, then I want to encourage you to share it later on today. Share it at your lunchtime. Share it at your supper time, Thanksgiving. I don't know when you're going to do a Thanksgiving meal, if you're going to do one, but I want you to share. Take time to share at your table the things that you're grateful for. And I want to encourage you to be specific, right? Life-changing gratitude gets fastened deep into our hearts one nail at a time. Be honest. People can tell when you're making it up. Don't say thanks because you're supposed to. Say thanks if you're truly thankful. And then maybe you want to consider making it permanent. You know, sometimes you just need to put something in a written note. Write it in email, a text, a handwritten note, whatever it is. It'll stay with them. Shows that you've been thinking about them. But for the rest of our service, I want to call Pastor Alex Rispoli up. And he's going to kick it off today. I told him, I said, all right, you're kicking off our sharing time. I've given him a couple more minutes just because, oh, he's got his little, he's got his timer on. Alex, so nice to have you with us. Come and share. We talked this week. God's done a good work in your life. Come on, share, brother.
Okay, hi. So good. Are you hearing me?
No? Let's see.
He didn't want me to talk.
There you go.
Okay, can you? Oh, gosh. Yeah. So good to be here with you guys. I just would like to share something and how thankful I am for God. A few months ago, I was found with a tumor on my prostate. All of a sudden, I was not expecting that. And that tumor was growing so fast. And the doctor called me and said, hey, Alex, we need to do a surgery with urgency. And then during that process, I was praying and seeking God. And I was so thankful for God because I understood that I have built my house on the rock, not on the sand. So when the storm came, I could be steady with God. And during that process, I have to do more exams. And then the doctor called me again and told me, hey, Alex, things got worse because your tumor is growing too fast. And we'll have to remove the tumor, the prostate, the seminar physical, and also your bladder. I said, oh my gosh, what does that mean? You'll have to use a bag on your body for the rest of your life. Well, it will change a lot of my lifestyle. I like sports. I like all those things. And I said, okay, God. Then I went home. And then I received a call from my immigration lawyer, a friend of mine, that he knew I was doing the surgery. And what is bad got worse. Because he told me, hey, Alex, during your permanent residency process, if you remove your bladder and get a bag, you'll not be accepted on the medical exams, and Canada will not accept you. Okay, it really got worse. And then I went home, me and my wife and my kids, and we started praying. And God just told me, I asked the church to pray and everybody to pray, because I believe in a miracle. And God just told me, trust me because I love you. And because I love you, I saved you. And that's the reason for you to be joyful, thankful every day. It's not about your bladder. It's about your life. And it really talks to me. And I, from that day on, me and my wife and my kids were always singing and so joyful when, you know, everything is fine. My life is on His control. And on the day of the surgery, when they were leading my stretch to the surgery room, me and my wife was walking beside me, the guy was leading me, and we were singing in a loud voice. I'm not going to sing for you guys. I don't think it's going to be a good idea. But we were singing Raise a Hallelujah. I think that you guys know that song. And we were singing in a loud voice. The guy was laughing, and okay, because I have a connection with Him. That's the good thing. It's not about bladder. It's about I have Him. And so the last thing I heard when I was on the bed was the anesthetist asking the doctor, are we going to remove his bladder? And the doctor answered her, yes, we will. And then I slept. When I woke up in the room, I thought it was no bag. What happened? I'm good. I'm good. And then I asked the doctor, what happened? He told me, I don't know. I was doing the surgery, I was removing things, but when I touched your bladder, I decided to do something different. And I just removed part of it, not all of it. And I cannot explain why I did that, but I just did. And I know why you did that. But the main thing I want to share with you guys is how thankful I am for God. Not because he preserved my bladder, but because I have him. He saved me during all these dark times. I learned so much about the love of God and how good it is to have your house built upon the rock. When the storm comes, you'll be steady with God. Don't wait for the storm to build your house. And be thankful for God as I am because he saved me. Thank you, Pastor.
He's less than 5 minutes, so God is good and miracles are happening. So come on. So I'm looking for, you know, like some 1 minute kind of 30-second thankfulness. Matt, are you ready? Okay, so he's got one over there. If you don't want to come all the way up here, we're going to come to you, okay? Oh, I'm going that way. Come on. He kicked it off really well. What are you thankful for? Come on. Come on, Ephraim. Come here, man.
Cool. Hi, everyone. I'm Ephraim. I've just recently graduated and kind of looking for a job. And at first, I felt a little disheartened because, like, my classmates are getting a job. And it's like, you know, you don't want to compare it, but it's like... Like, I still don't have a job, so what's up, God? But I think, like, what I've learned to be thankful for is that it will come in its time, but that God is, like, have a season of rest, and this is a time where you can kind of recover after school. Yeah. And it's okay. Like, it's okay that you have debt and, like, that you have all these things you need to pay off. But, like, in this time, it's a time that, like, I've set for you to just rest. And I think in that, I've learned to be really thankful for that instead of like looking like, oh, where's the job? But yeah. Instead, like, this is a time to rest. And so thank God for that.
All right. Well, we thank God for you, Ephraim. Someone else. Here's my word for you. God will never leave you or forsake you. Caroline.
Morning. Is this on? Well, when I was in my, let's just say, early 30s, I was still single and very active and had lots and lots of friends, but I wasn't married. And it's not that it was a big focus of mine, but I really wanted to have a partner. And I was making a lot of bad choices in my life. And I realized that I was okay on my own. And I had a really good talk with God. And I said, maybe, God, maybe this isn't your plan for my life. Maybe I'm not supposed to have a partner. And but I'm okay on my own. I have you. And with you, I have everything. And I said, if you do want to bring someone to me, I will accept that person and trust that he was brought by you. And I prayed and prayed and prayed. And sure enough, I found my husband. He came into my life, and it turns out he was on the other side of the world praying and praying and praying as well. And together with the Lord, we have built a wonderful relationship, and I can't imagine my life without him, and I can't believe it's almost been 19 years, and it's gone by like a blink of the eye. So I'm grateful that the Lord has a plan for our lives and had a plan for me, and that when I really put my trust in him, he didn't let me down, and he never does.
Amen. Thank you, Carolyn. Oh, we could maybe do one or two more, but you got to... Just real short. James at the back.
Sure. It's loud. just want to say thanks to everyone here in our SGA family. And I just specifically, Perry, I want to thank you and Linda and Caitlin Rand, Sarah, the day our Atlan was born, our son, and he took Caden that night. And you told me afterwards that, you know, when he went to bed, you said a prayer with him. That just triggered me. I hadn't gotten in the habit of praying with Caden since then. And you know, since shortly after that time, I'm doing that with him pretty much every night, and Belinda now too. And just at meals now, Caden, just about every meal, he's praying. And, you know, and just before, you know, our son, who's almost four, and if my wife doesn't have her eyes closed, he'll say, hey, close your eyes, and just before he prays. So just want to say thanks to everyone here, and yeah, thanks for that.
Good. Thank you, James. How about one more down here? I see a biomed student, or biomod, whatever.
Yeah, I actually got a story about that. So last summer, I was doing this project at the University of Calgary, and it was for this competition that we did. And for the whole summer, nothing was working with the project. We kept going from one thing to another thing. We had like 8 people working on it and 2 profs supervising us. And I realized by the end of the summer, where our project was ending, that I wasn't praying for the project. I wasn't really caring of... I didn't really put God into my project. I just was doing it as my own thing. Like, yeah, I'll just figure it out. We got smart people. We'll figure it out. And back then, I was just an undergraduate, so I had a lot of faith in my supervisors, which I love them, but, you know, bad idea. So then I started praying for the project. And I started giving it to God, and I actually became worried because one of my supervisors, he's Russian, so he kept saying that, you're going to fail, you're going to embarrass yourself. And I was one of the guys who's supposed to present the project, and when he, every time he says that, you're going to embarrass, I'm, okay, thanks, for, you know, that's great, we're trying to make this work, but okay, fine, whatever. And then I prayed to God, and I said, you know what, I don't care if this project works. It would mean a big deal if it did. It would mean a big deal. But I don't care, God, because you're good, and I think something good is going to happen out of this, even if we fail, even if we embarrass ourselves. And on the last day of the project, I hope I'm not taking too much time, but on the last day of the project, I made the solution that we're supposed to make to test, and then I gave it to the guys to test. And I left. It was the last day of the project. And I thought that if it worked, they would obviously send me a message saying, oh, hey, man, it worked. Yay, congratulations. But they didn't send anything. So on Monday, I came in back to the lab, even though it's the end of the project. I'm like, well, now I need to grind it out during school time. And one of the guys comes in and he says, hey, did you hear that it worked? I'm like, okay, no, you're just punking me because you would have told me if it worked. He showed me the images and everything worked. I kept running around the lab like a crazy person. Yeah, and I was super happy, and out of that, I got great references, and I tend to brag every time I tell this story, and this will be no different, but the project worked because strictly of the experiments that I did, and it because of what God did to me, because I remember making those experiments and doing things so much differently than I did before, and I kept thinking, why didn't I do this before? This is basic stuff, and I think I just was just blind before, and when I prayed, God opened my eyes to these things and how to do these things properly, and everything worked, and I got a great reference out of it that I can use now.
All right. Yeah. Well, thank you very much. You want to just pass that mic, Ephraim? Ephraim, you want to just grab that? I want to invite you all to stand. We're going to have to close. The really sad thing is that that we just have an hour to be together, and we kind of gone about 5 minutes over today. But remember your assignment. It doesn't end here. Gratefulness is an attitude that you carry in your life. You keep sharing all the good things that God has done for you. Your gratefulness for each other at the lunch or the supper that you're going to have today. God, we thank you most of all for you and your goodness. That's why we're here. We gather together in your name to say thank you to you for all the good gifts. You're a good and loving God. And so we bless your name. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. See you next week. And greet one another. But we're going to have to all through these doors. We go out these doors as the next congregation comes in this way. Thank you, 2 and 3, for being here.